listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
Some quick thoughts, if I could, this morning. Some of them are mine, and some of them are T.D. Jakes. I don't know if y'all like T.D. Jakes, but probably one of the premier preachers in the kingdom. I'm just saying. I'm just telling you what I think about the guy. But he preached a year or two ago, maybe it was, a message, and maybe some of you would remember it, or maybe you heard it, Save the Scraps. Has anyone ever heard that? Save the Scraps. If you haven't heard it, I want to bounce off of that just a minute. But let me just bring you to where you are today and what God is saying to you. Because some of you are saying, I know something's going on and I just can't put my finger on it. God, what is it you're trying to get through to me in our praise and worship? Number one, let me give you a thought. Worship is a demonstration of one's love. You can't worship what you don't love. So let me just start right there. When people say, he just worships the ground she walks on. That's what they say about Alan and Lisa. And she just, isn't that what they say about you, Lisa? She just worships the ground that Alan walks on. Well, let me just help y'all with that. That doesn't mean that she's under his feet and she's subservient. It means she loves him. And I'm just going to help y'all right now. If you want to know what worship is, when people say, well, I don't feel like worshiping, I'm going to stop you right there, baby, and say this right now. You need to understand worship has nothing to do with feeling. It has to do with a love affair. I'm in love with God and I worship Him. If I'm in love with my wife, I know we tease a lot and we have a lot of fun, but we do that at home as well. We have a lot of fun. I love my wife. I worship her in the sense of she is worthy. She's a worthy lady in my eyes. Now, you may not see that same thing, but you don't love her like I do. So I'm just helping y'all in your worship this morning, because here's what the Bible says about us. And if you just want to pick up a little bit out of the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 11, in God's creation, how many of y'all do remember the creation, right? So let me give you three thoughts. You were created from God. You were created to be like God, and you were created to love God. There's your three points you can go home with. Let me just really quick hit on these. In the creation, God did two kinds of creating, just to help some of us out that are laymen in the thought of the theology of creation. I get it. He created everything. I understand that. But some things He created out of nothing, and some stuff He created are made out of something. If it says He made something, generally He pulled it from something else. For an example, when He said the creation of light, He didn't say, oh, light come from a far planet or another universe. What did He say about light? How many remember what God said about light? In the creation of light, what did He say? Light be. Light be, and it was. 386,000 feet per second, it was. I'm just saying, it was as He spoke, it was. And that is called creation. But how many of you know, in the creation, there were some things that He brought out of something. Now listen to what I'm saying. He brought out of something, and He determined that what He brought it out of would sustain it. And when it died, it would go back to it. Okay, if you're tracking me on this, in Genesis 1:11, the Bible said that God had created the earth, and then He spoke to the earth and said, you will produce. Oh, come on now. He spoke to the earth. We need to at least listen as good as the earth. He spoke to the earth and said, you will produce, and out of you will come trees and plants, fruit-bearing, seed-bearing. Y'all remember that? So He had a created ball. He had the terra firma. He had it here. And then He called to it and said, you're going to produce and out of you will come. Well, how many of you know that a tree sustains itself in the dirt? Yeah, you take the tree away from the dirt, it's going to die. When it does die, where does it go? Back to the dirt. It falls back. So I'm just helping you right now. And then in the creation, He had the oceans and the water and the air. And then He's called and He put birds in the air and fish in the sea. I remember that as on down about the 20th verse or so. And He begins to create that. Then He says, again, He says, animals are coming out of the earth. And He called out of the earth the animals. Now let me just ask you a question. Everything He created that had to do with the earth came out of the earth. The earth sustains it, and it dies and goes back to it. Y'all still tracking me? Well, if you think about that in a way, I was thinking about J.W.'s love for milkshakes and how he defends ice cream, thinking it's, he says it's health food to eat ice cream. How many of y'all like ice cream besides me? Bluebell being one of the primos. Now, if y'all think like I think, ice cream is really a salad. Come on now. It just processed greens. Cow eats it. Just saying, it's processed greens. So all of y'all that like ice cream, that's health food. So JW, you're right. You can eat ice cream, baby. Here's all I'm saying. Everything in creation that was brought out of something, it was created out of something. It's sustained by that thing, and then it's put back in it. And God's in His creative plan. And He gets in Genesis, the first chapter, in verse number 26, and then He says something different. He doesn't say we're going to call the earth and we're going to pull out of the earth. He says something like this. He said, and let us make man. Let us make man like us. Let me help you on this. You were made out of God. You were drawn out of God. If you're drawn out of God, then it's God that sustains you. And if you're separated from God, then you're dead whether you sit on a seat or not. Okay, let me help some of y'all, because you're looking at me like I was brought up out of the earth. I get that. And let me just help you on that. The Bible says you were created from the earth. He pulled you out of the earth in the sense of He squeezed you. The word there, made, is squeeze. He molded you out of the earth. But that's not what made you alive. What made you alive was you were created in His image and in His likeness. You were drawn out of Him because it was His Spirit that breathed in you that made you a living being. Stay with me right now. What you're drawn out of is what sustains you, and when you die, you go back to it. Woo! You could amen right there. Because ain't nobody died in Christ that didn't go back to Him. And I got some other news for you. All those hellions that aren't going to go to heaven, they all got to pass by God because they were drawn out of Him. Oh, He's going to have the final word. Everybody that breathes with a soul drawn out of God is going to go back by Him. Adam was breathed into, and now you've got this created being. He was squeezed out of the dirt. So here's the obvious thing. If I separate myself from the earth, and I can't eat my ice cream, I'll just say anything. But if I separate myself from the earth sustains what? My body. The earth doesn't sustain my spirit. The earth sustains my body. So when my body dies, Robert, where does the body go? Back to the earth. I got into some more news for you. It ain't going to heaven, and it's not getting resurrected unless it's glorified. This body is made for this dirt. So I'm going to help some of y'all. Everybody in here is dying. I know you don't think you are. We got a report. Just a bad medical report from one of our members, and just, you know, like weeks or months, just a really bad medical report for their living. And here's what the Lord said. He said, you got a day too. The difference is the doctors declared his, and I declare yours. It kind of settled me down, because sometimes we get all upset that someone's dying, and we act like we're not. And the problem is some of us live like we don't think we're going to. But everybody in here has got a number to be pulled by God, and He tells you when that day is, and just because a doctor says it doesn't mean you don't have it. Whether they say it, are y'all still tracking me right now? So I'm just saying, if you separate me from the earth, what I squeezed up out of, then my body dies and goes back to the earth. But I'm going to tell you right now, if I die in my physical body, I've got a spiritual body. Just track me on this. The Lord said this. He said, you can eat of all the trees, but don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because when you do, the day you eat it, you shall surely die. They ate it and they did not die. Well, now wait a minute. Truth is, they died right then. As soon, not just when they ate it, when they turned toward it, when they plucked it off that tree, they already died. But when they disobeyed God, they died right then. No, Pastor, they did not die because Adam lived to be X amount of years old. Let me hold on right here. He died right then. Because that's why Ephesians 2:1 says, we have been made alive in Christ. I don't need to be made alive if I'm already alive. I need to be made alive if I've been dead. And the Bible says we were all dead in trespasses and sins, but we have been, Ephesians 2:1, been made alive in Christ. And that helps me a lot right now. That means when this body dies and goes back to the earth, this spirit man of mine is alive. John 10:10, you read that and you like the abundant life at the end, but you need to read the whole thing. The enemy comes in to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to give you life. The whole point of this kingdom we're in is to get us alive. Amen? And I hate to see people that are looking good on the outside and dead on the inside. We need life inside of us. You need to hear it one more time. What you're pulled from is going to sustain you, and to it you will return when you die. Well, you got Eve. Now, the Bible said that in 2 Genesis 2:20, it says that Adam was given a responsibility of naming the animals. How many of y'all remember that? I don't know if you believe this or not, but Tim, when he named the animals, not only did they get a name, they got a personality. They got an attitude. They got a disposition. Did y'all understand that? If you understand the word naming, the word name, when you talk about God's name, it's not just Jesus, it's Savior, it's Benefactor, it's Healer, it's Deliverer. There's a whole lot more that goes with His name. It's love, it's compassion. His name includes everything that He is. And that's why when Adam was naming the animals, he was giving them names and they picked up personalities. You've heard that, meaner than a striped spider. I've not ever seen a striped spider that was mean, but I've heard that. But people, we're going to say, yeah, so you have these names, and he's doing that. But it's very interesting right there, because at the end of verse number 21, it says, and he found no one comparable to himself. Now, you got to ask yourself a question. What were you doing? You'd be naming animals, looking for somebody. Right? That's what the Bible says. And the Bible says he was looking for somebody, Sammy, and he couldn't find them in all of the animal kingdom. And the Bible says, and God put him to sleep, and God opened him up, and God took out a rib. And here's another word. When the Bible says he made Eve, he created or made her out of the rib, it doesn't mean squeezed, it means fashioned. I like that. You ladies should amen right up in there. Y'all having that class on Sunday night, you should amen that one. Because us men, we're just kind of squeezed up. You know what I'm talking about? But you ladies were fashioned. I mean, I'm liking that. In other words, God backed off and said, I ain't making that like that. I've done that one already. I'm going to do something different here. And he made you ladies. And that's what gives you that great personality and all of the things that are sweet about you. Some of you. You were not just created, but you were fashioned. I love that. Put together. Yeah, every seam is right. God said, I'm going to do something here that I didn't do with him. I squeezed him up out of dirt, but this one I will fashion. Then Adam wakes up, said, dead Jesus. No, he didn't. That's what I would have said. He looked at her and said, woman, or out of man. In other words, came out. No, y'all bear with me, ladies, don't get mad at me, but the truth is, that's why we men ought to take responsibility to sustain you. Men that don't want to work, don't want to take care of the family, don't want to love the wives, I'm going to tell you right now, you jokers out of the line of the will of God, I don't care how much you confess Jesus. There is a place of what something's brought from that has to sustain it. So ladies, understand, I know you take care of yourself, I get all that. But the truth is, if you're hooked up, you're married to a man, then there's a responsibility that we have by God Himself to sustain you, take care of you, protect. Y'all still amen to me now? Protect you, because that's where you're from. So I'm just saying. So she's drawn out of him. She's connected to the earth. But I like this idea that God knew what he needed. And I'm asking myself, God, how did you know what Adam needed? Just bear with me right now. I will create man in my image and my likeness. I'm creating man. Listen to me. I'm creating man out of me. Stay with me on this one. God created man because he had a desire for man. He had a desire for companionship. He had a desire to have something like him. Do you not think that God didn't understand what Adam needed? Not because Adam was a man, but because Adam was in his likeness. He had the same desires that God had. Oh, you should amen right there. He walked with God, talked with God, thought like God, named animals, and God knew what he wanted. I wrote down some scriptures about God's desire I've been taken out of God, pulled from God, created from Him. Therefore, I have to go back to Him. I'm created like Him. Amen. He knows what I like. See, that's another thing we have in this men's Bible thing. And men get in church, and women get in church, and they get all kinds of strange, goofy ideas about the kingdom of God. And it's like I've got to be different than everybody else because I'm a Christian man. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm a man that's a Christian. I'm a man that's a Christian. So my manhood doesn't change because I'm a Christian. Amen? You're a lady that's a Christian. Lady doesn't change. You still need to be a lady. Though you're a Christian. Although there are some ladies that have lost their ladyhood and they just mean, but they want to be a Christian. And men the same way. And all I'm saying is there is a place for us to follow the Lord. So we're made in His image. We're made in His likeness. Here's the other thing I'm going to give you. You were created to love God and be loved by God. One of the hardest things you deal with is not loving God, is being loved by Him. I'm just telling you right now, the hardest thing you do is be loved by Him. Ladies, I'm going to tell y'all something. The hardest thing you do is be loved by your husband. Oh, I know I'm right. You look in the mirror. You look at you and you start measuring you up to everybody else you've seen on TV. And then you start thinking for him. Right? And then you start telling him what he thinks about you. And he said, baby, I never thought that. Yes, you did. I saw you. I'm just saying. That's where, ladies, am I right or not? Okay, men, am I right or not? Amen. It's difficult for a lady to be loved by the men. And I'm just going to say, it's something that we need to work on, but it's the same way in the kingdom of God. It's very difficult for the bride to be loved by the husband. It's difficult for you to think that God still loves you after what you did. He still loves you knowing what you were. Can I help you right now? He knew you, wrote that day in your life before you even got there. He knew the other side of that problem. He knew the other side of that failure and said, I still choose to love you, but we don't get that. You were created to be loved by God and to love God. Let me give you the divine desire of God this morning before we call the altar. Exodus 6:7, he says, y'all listen to what I'm reading. And I didn't exhaust this. I mean, this is just a little bit, but I want to read the scriptures. I want you to pick up the phrase that's repeated. This is probably one of the most repetitious prayer or words or phrases in the Bible. Listen to it and see if you can pick up on what God's trying to tell us. Exodus 6:7, I will take you as my people and I'll be your God. Then you'll know that I am the Lord your God who brings you up out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Leviticus 26:12, I will walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. Jeremiah 7:23, but this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and I will walk and will walk all the ways that I have commanded you, that it will be well with you. Jeremiah 11:4, which I commanded your fathers in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt from the iron furnace, saying, obey my voice and do according to all that I command you, so you shall be my people and I will be your God. Jeremiah 24:7, then I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Jeremiah 30:22, you shall be my people, and I will be your God. Ezekiel 14:11, the Bible says that the house of Israel may no longer stray from me, nor be profaned anymore with all of the transgressions, but that they may be my people, and I may be their God. Hosea 2:23, Then I shall sow her for myself in the earth, and I shall have mercy on her who had not obtained mercy. Then I will say to those who were not my people, you are my people, and they shall say, you are my God. 2 Corinthians 6:16, go to the New Testament, talk about the Gentiles. And what agreement has a temple of God with an idol? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Hebrews 8:10, to the Hebrews, to the Jews, for this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel. For after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their mind, write on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they'll be my people. Have y'all heard anything that's repetitious yet? The most repetitious phrase, I think, in the Bible. Can I read one more? This is out of Revelation 21:1, getting to the very last of the church age. Listen to what God says. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. From God. Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be to them their God. Have y'all heard anything repeated yet? Can I tell you something? It is God's desire for you to be his. He has got a desire. He is heaven bent on every person in this world coming to a knowledge of him. He gave his son that the world might be saved. Not that we could have church on Sunday, but the world might be saved. You've got a God that loves you. You were brought out of him, made like him, to love him and be loved by him. His desire, listen to me, his desire is the same desire that was in Adam. Adam named all the animals and found nothing comparable. It was the same as God. I want somebody that's comparable to me. Woo. Jesus is called the second Adam. We are called the bride of Christ. Are y'all still tracking me? God loves us and wants to have more than you're a Christian. More than, I went to church on Sunday. He wants a relationship with us that when you get up in the morning, you are loved by God. When you go to bed at night, you are loved by God. When you're having a good day, you are loved by God. When all hell is breaking loose, you are loved by God. He knows everything going on, and he wants you to love him, and he wants you to be loved by him, which brings me to the altar call. Times Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John record the feeding of 5,000 people. How many of y'all remember that? Matthew 14, Mark 6, Luke 9, and John 6 all record the feeding of the 5,000. Now, how many of y'all do remember that Jesus was not popular until he was 30 years old? How many of y'all know that the Gospels only cover 3 years of his ministry and life? Y'all do understand that. How many of you know that even the book of John only really picks up 2 weeks? I'm just saying, when you read the New Testament, sometimes we think it's this whole long story. It was just a short time. Y'all do know that when Jesus was born, he was born in a place that wasn't going to produce a king, except Isaiah said, why is Bethlehem going to have a king? And then we know he's from Nazareth. No good thing comes out of Nazareth. He wasn't popular until he was baptized. How many of y'all remember that John the Baptist at the time was the most popular preacher in the area? I mean, John the Baptist was the man. He was baptizing people. They were repenting. It was just crazy. But I want you to listen to what John said. John said, the one coming after me, whose shoes I'm not worthy to unlatch, will be anointed with the Holy Ghost and power. And he is the Lamb that will take away the sin of the world. Now, he did something that televangelists don't do. Listen to what he said. I'm not getting down on anybody. I'm just saying. John the Baptist said this. I'm going to paraphrase the first part of it, and you know he said the second part. Paraphrase is this. I got a bigger ministry than Jesus. I'm paraphrasing. But did he or not? Yes. John had a bigger ministry than Jesus. What did John say about that? His big ministry. What did he say? I must decrease so that he'll increase. I need to back away from this because there's someone coming. That's the Son of God there. Jesus' ministry flourished because John said, I'm backing down. I'm shutting this thing down. I am going to back off of this because the ministry belongs there, not here. And sometimes we need to find that place of humility. We understand it is all about God, not about us. This service isn't about, did we perform today? It's about, did Jesus get blessed today? Did he get glorified today? Well, in the story, you know the story. Jesus, in a short time, less than 3 years, he's got a crowd pulled together. Now, they counted the crowd. How many of you know they did count 5,000 men? Now, some people will tell you that that's just the men. They didn't count the boys and girls and the women. Therefore, they'll estimate to you that the number wasn't 5,000, but it was more, 12,000 or 15,000 people. Now, let me just stop here and say something. I'm talking to y'all with a microphone. How do you think Jesus managed all of that, trying to talk to 5,000 people, 12,000 people? Are y'all still with me this morning? How did he do that without a microphone? How did he talk to the last row that could barely hear him, and yet everybody didn't want to leave a word for a piece of bread? I don't know about the rest of y'all. We come to church and think it's hard to come to church. You've got to be kidding me. 5,000 people show up, just the men, 12,000 maybe, in a community that wasn't hardly that big itself. That, just think of the population. I mean, he's talking to these people, and they won't leave. And finally, one of the guys, Philip, comes and says, Master, what are we going to do? It's late. They got to eat. What are we going to do with them? And Jesus, here's what I love about the Lord. I think it's in Matthew's gospel, it says, and Jesus, already knowing what he would do. Already know. He already knew there was a boy out there with 5 loaves and 2 fish. He knew that. But he said to Philip, ain't nobody going home. You do something. Philip looks at his wallet. He said, Pastor, I'm going to tell you the truth. We can't feed as many people, not even 200 denarii. We're in trouble right up in here. We can't feed these people. We can't make this happen. What are we going to do? And Jesus said, just give me what you got. So then they polled 5,000 people. Now listen to me. This little boy wasn't even counted. Let that soak in just a minute. You don't have to be on staff to be used by God. This is what I'm telling you. That baby wasn't counted. They only counted the men. This is a no count came up to him. He ain't even on the list. He shows up with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I'm a no count, but what I got is yours. Can I help you right now? You may not be a big count. You may be a no count, but you're something to God. And whatever you got, even though it's a no count, God can use in a mighty way. He'll use it a mighty way. It's not your talent. It's really you're available to be used by God. I love this kid. I know name. He could have sat back and said, y'all want me? It's 5,001. I'm just saying. He didn't need a count. He brought up his fish. He gave them to Jesus. I love this part. I don't understand it. I don't get it. Jesus had it in his brain how to do it. He began to break bread and fish. Now, according to Scripture, it multiplied. I don't think it multiplied broken. I don't know how it did it. I think it multiplied whole. And then he gave it to the disciples, and they distributed. It is to our understanding that they did what the Master did, and now it's breaking in their hands. So, see, right now, they're ready to get the credit for it, but it's not about us breaking bread. It's about Jesus broke this bread before I got here this morning, and I'm only being used by him. Sometimes it's hard for you to receive if it's not coming directly from the hand of Jesus. But those people weren't complaining because a disciple handed them a plate. So if you'll just make up your mind, it's not about Mike Wright, it's about Jesus, and he just handed me a plate. There's another part of this gets to me. Here's this God that knew 5,000 men. They got a count. They knew how many men were there. He breaks the bread. How many of y'all think that he got the right amount of bread broken? I do. But then he says, y'all go through and pick up fragments. I'm thinking, if you made the right amount, then everybody got full. Because the Bible says, in all accounts, it says that when they were full, and when they were full and had eaten everything, that the disciples went through and picked up the fragments. I'm thinking, wait just a minute. Jesus, if you God, you're God, and you made enough of these 5,000, 12,000 people, then you knew exactly what they would eat, and you already had a plan before you started, so how come there was extra? So Jesus said, it's because of my name. Because my name is El Shaddai, more than enough. So when I start creating something, I know what the limit is, but I don't fill the cup like a waitress who fills it to the capacity of a cup. I fill it to who I am, and my name says, I'm more than enough. I will bless you. Can't help but love you because God is love. He can't help but bless you. David said, when I was at the enemy's table and God was putting food before me, he filled my cup and it overflowed. Gas price go to $4 a gallon. God is still El Shaddai. He doesn't change his mind. He doesn't change his name. He's going to bless you to overflowing. Well, I got that. But then you got to deal with, they picked up 12 baskets. That's one per disciple. And he said, y'all go get in that boat and go to the other side, right? And he said, I'm going to go pray. He goes to a mountain and he starts praying. As evening fell, as it does, the wind dies at first and then it starts picking up after the temperature changed, and it did on the Sea of Galilee, the Lake of Tiberias, but the Sea of Galilee and the Lake of Nazareth, the Sea of Galilee, and the wind starts blowing on them, and the Bible says that they were in that boat, they thought they were going to die, Jesus up there praying, and all of a sudden he comes walking on the water. Now at this point you get four Gospels and you get some different views of what happened. But in two of the Gospels, Mark and John, it both says this. John says it in the 16th chapter, although Mark says it right there when Jesus gets on board. Matthew said that that's where Peter walked on the water. But let me help y'all just real quick right here. It obviously is not really important that Peter walked on the water. Maybe all of them would have talked about it. We talk about him walking on the water. We talk about the waves stopping and the wind dying, don't we? Are y'all still tracking me? We talk about that miracle. Oh, he walked on that water. And oh, he picked him up and brought him to the boat. And oh, Jesus calmed that storm. And let me help you right now. Jesus gets on board that boat. If you read Mark, Mark doesn't even say he stopped the storm. Book of Mark says he got on the boat and they were on the other side. Didn't talk about Peter, didn't talk about storm. And here's what he said to them. He said, y'all's problem is you did not consider the scraps. You didn't consider the leftovers. I want you to look at me real close, because everybody in this room got some leftovers. You got some leftovers, Sammy. You got a miracle that happened when you were 15. You got something that happened to you when you were 17. You got something that happened to you last year. You got something that happened to you and it was a miracle and you still remember it. It's just kind of like a scrap. You remember today, it's all past, but you still remember a little of that. How many of y'all know we got some scraps? We got some leftover. How many of y'all remember when God healed you, when God saved you, when God touched your baby, when the finances turned around? I don't know about the rest of y'all. We all got some scraps. We got something. Here's what Jesus said. Your problem is not the wind and the storm. The problem is you don't consider what you carried away from that miracle. You got some scraps. That food is not about another meal. It's about a miracle. Listen to me, listen to me. They brought what looked like scraps in their little individual baskets. We think, well, they're going to have breakfast. This was not about breakfast. This was bringing a little bit of a miracle from yesterday, an answer to prayer yesterday, that I bring it with me into the storm I'm having tomorrow. And when I get there, I've got my little basket. I may not have a whole loaf, but I've got a memory, I've got a prayer, I've got a miracle, and I've got a piece of it. And I tell the devil, I've got a miracle from yesterday, and God will not change yesterday, today, or forever. Marianne, sing a song. He'll do it again. Do it again. The storm was an open book test. You going back to school, right? Chelsea, you in school, right? You passing? Dígame algo sobre español. Ah, qué bueno. Lindísima. I said that was beautiful, really, wasn't it? I was lying in Spanish. It was an open book test. How many of y'all remember open book test? Oh, come on, Tim. You know, you poor students, you have. Sure. They would never know what one was. But open book test is when we get to have the test and we get to look in the book. How many of you know in the back of that book there's some answers up in there? I love open book tests. Because I know if I get stumped, there's an answer in that book somewhere. I'm going to find it. It's open book. Can I help you right now? That trial on the sea is not any different than the trial you're in right now. It's not any different than what the devil's telling you he's going to do. It's not any different what your finances say. It's not any different what the doctor says. It's not any different what is happening in your marriage with your children. And the devil says it's going to hell in a handbasket. You are in an open book test. And here's what he said. He said, I have let you take on that boat, the answer to the prayer, the answer. It's not me walking on the water. It's not me getting Peter picked up. The answer is in that bread. He said, you didn't consider the bread. Can I tell you, that's where we live. We don't consider that God brought us out. Woo! Pastor, I don't have big. You don't have to have big. You can be a no-name with leftovers. I'm shutting up on this one for real. When the enemy comes, and he does, he'll attack Sue and I. Tell us why we can't or can do things. What we should look for or not look for. Here's what I've learned about the devil. He's not impressed with big miracles. Well, God, I get it. Let me tell you what he hates. He hates it when he comes and says, what you going to do now? In 1973, we had 16 people meeting in one room of a house. God supplied all our needs according to His riches and glory. It don't have to be big. I don't have to tell Him we pastored 5,000. What I got to tell Him is we only had 16. And God is God. See, some of y'all waiting on a big miracle, all you need is a crumb. You just need the leftovers. You need to save something from that last miracle. You need to quit forgetting and understand it's an open book test. So when you're attacked, then what you're going to do, I'm going to open that book and find me something. And I'm going to tell you what I'm going to find. Because I've got a relationship. I was brought out of God and God sustains me. Then that miracle has something in it. And yesterday's miracle is going to be good for me today if I can bring it with me. Even if it's just the fragments, just the broken pieces. Just the fish bones and fish heads that are left over. It'll work for a miracle. Let's all stand if you would this morning. I know I tore the service up. I know I did. I don't apologize. There's a miracle in this room for you. It's interesting to me they didn't have to bring whole fish and whole bread. Fragments. Fragments. So you read the Gospels. One says 12 baskets of bread. One says 12 baskets of bread and fish. But it says clearly, fragments. Say scraps. God doesn't need much in this open book test for you to believe. What can you believe? What can you remember? How many has a remembrance of a healing or deliverance? Anybody got one? I mean, I do. I've got those. Yeah, point of reference. We have a cardinal direction we know we're going to go. And it's always set on God. I'm going to tell you what I like. I don't have to give Him when I was delivered out of drugs or alcohol or tobacco or, you know, all the hell that many of us were involved in. I don't have to go back and say I was delivered out of a spirit of anger. And I really was. It's a tremendous deliverance. I could go back and bring those big miracles. Let me tell you what the devil hates. Here's what he hates. I remember when I was 5 years old and I didn't have any sin in my life. I'd never smoked a cigarette. Hadn't even puffed on a grapevine. Some of y'all won't know that unless you're country. You're from Beulah, you might know what I'm talking about. Anybody ever smoked grapevines besides me and the other? Oh, boy. Yeah. You would remember it would have burned your tongue, your lips. It was horrible, but we did it because we were cool. At five years old, this is one of those things you tell people, don't do as I say. I don't do as I do. Do as I do. I remember 5 years old when I hadn't done anything wrong. I was just a little kid. I remember not everything that I did, but I remember the essence of what went on. That we were in a place called Marianna, Arkansas. Their altars were made out of 1x4s. There were 4 1x4s, 3 1x4s, I think it was. And they were stretched out and nailed. And so the altar was made out of that. The pews made out of the same stuff. And so that's. I remember as 5 years old that I laid down on that altar. And I had a Bible open. I don't know if I did it or somebody did it. And had it laying on my chest. I know this is stupid. You don't have to do this to get saved. Just tell you where I was. And at 5 years old, I was laying there and I had that on my chest. And I said, oh, God, forgive me. I want to serve you. I can't remember what I prayed, but I prayed a prayer at 5 years old. Now, I'm going to tell you what. The devil hates that worse than I got delivered off drugs. He hates it. Because my reference isn't about big, it's about God. And that little is enough to take him out. That little is what it's going to take. That is planted for my next trial as an answer to prayer. It is God did it once, he can do it again. If he does it again, he'll do it again. He's not going to be short on getting the job done. If I can just remember the scraps. It doesn't have to be big. So I want to give an altar call because there are people in here that are facing, some of you are right in the throes right now of some financial stuff. You're in the throes right now of family problems and issues. It could be husband, wife. It could be children. There's all kinds of issues that pile up there. It could be that there's an addiction or a problem, and I won't even go to what that is. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, we shouldn't have to explain every Sunday what sin is. If you're not serving God, your biggest sin is not crack. Your biggest sin is the vacuum between you and God. If you're in this room and you're born again, then you understand the issues and the problems if there's a bondage or sin. And just let me say this to you. If people say, well, I can't believe that they're a Christian, but yet they have a bondage, I'm going to help you. You probably got one yourself. You just don't identify it. You got saved in a word, Lazarus, come forth. But it's a process to unwrap you. Some of us still getting unwrapped. I'd love to tell y'all I'm unwrapped. Truth is, I still get a grave clothes jerked off me every once in a while. Amen. I want to open this altar up. We're going to pray for you this morning. I want you just to bring your scrap. I'd love for you. You don't have to tell me what it is, but when you get up here, I want you to just hold your scrap. I just want you to get whatever it is. Whatever that last victory was, whatever that little piece of it was. You may not even remember it all. Maybe it's something somebody even told you, but you're going to bring it right now. It's going to affect you. It is an open book trial that you're in, and the Lord is telling me to tell you, don't forget. Don't forget the scraps. I want want you to bring them right now. We're going to pray. You're in the room. This is our altar call today. I've got some issues. I'm facing some stuff. I've got some problems. I've got questions. I just need help today. I get it. We're going to pray right now, but we're going to bring our stuff to the Lord. We're going to remind the devil this morning who we are. We're going to remind him who we're taken from. We're going to remind him who sustains us. We're going to remind him today that we were created to be loved by God. Everybody look at me just a second. I'm going to tell y'all, everybody at this altar something. It's impossible for you to be illegitimate. I've heard that in church and in the world about that's an illegitimate child. Let me help y'all right now. It's impossible to be an illegitimate child. God wrote your pages in your mother's womb. The only thing illegitimate might have been your mom and daddy. Doesn't make you illegitimate. Amen. Sometimes we need to buy that. We need to get it again. That God knows where I am. I'm on board a ship. Here's what God says. I know what I'm going to do today. He wasn't just talking about bread and fish. He's talking about the leftovers. He's talking about the scraps, the fragments that are going to be the key to the next miracle. They're the answer to the next miracle. Can I help you? At that miracle, there was an answer for the next miracle. There's always going to be a fragment that you'll pick up and take to the next place. Because I'm going to help you right now. You'll never get, Dwayne, to where you're in a place that you're not going to have a trial or trouble and a problem. You're always going to have it. What you've got to remember, son, is that you've got your victory to take with you. And it may be one that nobody else cares about, but you care about it, and you're going to bring it with you.
To the Gateway Family Church podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.